Right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, and I do believe in our middle studio. Yeah, of course I believe, because my eyes can tell me we have Cynthia Oswaldick.
Morning. Hello.
Hello there, Cynthia.
Hello, hello.
Are you all by yourself?
I am all by myself.
And on the other line, we have Janet Manco. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning. Here, even though you can't see me, and also all by myself.
That's right. Well, I do have to say, this I've covered now for the radio. This was the first time in my life that I actually had to wait for 2 hours till 12:45 in the morning, because I was feeding live and on Facebook, and people were actually following it.
Yeah.
So I could not let the story drop.
Right. I was, too. And, I was seeing some of the comments people were saying to you, like, you know, Marshall, I have to get up in the morning. And you're like, you know, I have to go up at 3:30 a.m. So
the funniest to all of that, though, I just have to, is that yesterday, I would say, after it was, you know, after you had announced, somebody said to me, so does anyone know if... who won that race?
It was a strange night, but it was an incredible election day. Which will you have this online, because of course the paper goes to bed before the election actually happens.
Correct.
So people want the election results. TricornerNews.com, right?
Right. We posted them all up yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cynthia worked very hard with
Alex Wilburn and Lila Hawken, who are amazing.
Yeah, and just pulled everything together. You'll find charts there with all our towns and, you know, a story about it. And it's hard because at 12:45 on election night, you couldn't call, several of the races. And it's just something that takes longer than it used to at one time, it seems.
And what you have to explain to people during the whole process, and what I was always putting up, is everything is unofficial, no matter who you get it from, until it's certified by the Secretary of State. People have to realize that. These vote totals that we get are raw totals, and I've had mistakes every election where registrars of voters from one town or another has called me back and corrected things.
Right, because they have things changed too, and they have absentee ballots, and they have things that they find or something apparently. But so, and that's where you were getting your numbers from at late on election night.
I was getting numbers from the sites themselves. I was getting information from the site itself. I was getting also...
Oh, the Secretary of the State site?
No, from the actual... From people that were at the Kent site, because everything was pretty much down
there. Oh, I see the site. And here I'm thinking, website.
But also Brian Oler and the Oler campaign and Maria Horn's campaign also had numbers, and we were juggling them and comparing them amongst the numbers we were all getting, because they were all slightly different.
Sure.
Because that's what happened. But anyways, but you folks can see everything laid out perfectly at TricornerNews.com.
Yes.
So,
until we have to change it for one reason or another, then we will.
That's right. All right. With that being said, lots and lots of great fall autumnal color on the front page, but a thing that puts a little damp on it, $1 million more for the need to finish the transfer station.
This is hard because it's $1 million more and you're not getting anything more for that money. It's really because of
the
delays.
You're getting less for your money, actually. You're going to get less because that's just the way it is.
Yeah, just the cost of building just goes up and up and up, and everybody knows this, and yet it's taken forever. It's like the depot in North Canton. It just takes forever for these big projects to go through, and it takes a long time for, you know, I mean, the democratic process is slow, and there have been a lot of hearings, and it's two towns, and there's been a lot of permitting issues, and it just takes a long time. And I think that everybody knows going in, it'd just be great if you could just hop right in there and just start building, but you can't when it's a project like this, and then time goes on, and suddenly it costs $1 million more. So that's real money, and it's hard.
I ran a poll on that, and we had over 100 responses, and it was 78% to 22% where people were upset. But what they have to understand is we need a transfer station, and it's unfortunate that we're going to have to come up with more money.
Yeah.
But there's lots of ways they can do it that make it fair to each town and fair to people that are 20 years old and that pay taxes, and fair to people that are 55 years old.
Yeah.
They can stretch the debt out to include a couple of generations, so no one generation bears the burden cost.
It's just hard that, you know, everything was set to go, and then $1 million, which is more money than most of us will see in our lifetimes.
That's when you use God smacked. I mean, really, it's one of those things that just happens.
It just happened.
But
now time is growing short. We've had lots of time to plan this, and now it's, you know, 2020 is coming up.
It's not that far. but don't mention the elections.
Yeah, well, oh my gosh.
We finally got past midterms.
That's right.
Well, and the reason that Marshall and Janet are talking about 2020 is that's when the lease runs out at Hotchkiss, which is the site where the Salisbury Shire and Transfer Station is presently, and where the transfer station has to be moved. A lot of people are still saying, like, did you ask Hotchkiss if you can stay? And the answer is yes. They've definitely asked Hotchkiss if they can stay. The answer is definitely no.
Yeah,
and
I'm pretty sure they have their plans together for that property.
I'm pretty sure
they do. Because they don't have to have approvals, which, you know, is, like, great for them. It makes it go so much faster. But also people seem to sort of feel like it's just a question of them saying yes or no. But it's also there are a lot of it's on a wetland. There's a lot of reasons why that transfer station just can't stay there anymore. Yep. Just the state wouldn't allow it. They're letting it be there now because they know it's moving, but it's really not a legal spot for it.
Okay, while we're talking about $1 million, we might as well go on to the really big project that GEER is planning.
Yes, and this is really exciting. You know, anecdotally, a lot of people in this community are very, very devoted to GEER and feel that the nursing care there is exceptional. And, of course, the new GEER Village building is quite beautiful. We go there for lunch all the time. The YMCA is there. The YMCA is expanding in its own project that is separate from this. But the one thing that people say is the nursing building is very old. It's built in 1969, and it's not just that it, you know, needs a buffing up. It's that back then it was acceptable for people to share, you know, two or three people to a room in a shared bathroom. And in contemporary 21st century America, that's not really okay. You really want your loved one or yourself, when it's that time, to have a private room and a private bathroom. And there's also, you know, we spoke to Kevin O'Connell and Stacey Nicholas over at GEER, and they were saying, you know, just air conditioning alone, the savings, the energy savings with a modern air conditioning system and heating system is just hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they can build in all sorts of new ways to safely transport patients who are not fully mobile, and also can design the floor so that the nurses are able much more quickly to reach patients, you know, who are having fall risks or who just need help with something in a hurry. So what they're doing now is, because we all know that it, like, everybody has an opinion and wants to share it, and that's great, and now is the time. They're really hoping that you will weigh in on what you would like to see done on the GEER campus, and there's a link to a survey, but also send them notes, send them emails. They want to know, and please, as they're having hearings and meetings on this, they would love it if you would come and tell them what you want, and don't wait, because as you see with the transfer station, the more that these things get delayed, the more that you're spending more money and not getting more building.
Okay, on the left side of the front page of the journal, two different stories on the reactions to the Pittsburgh shootings.
Right, very passionate story from Whitney Joseph speaking to the rabbi at the Beth David Synagogue in Armenia, which a lot of people from the side of the state go to as well. And then Shaw Isaacson spoke to people from the shul in Winsted, and also from Camp Isabella Friedman, who, you know, I had spoken to them over the summer. We featured them in a story, and they were saying, you know, sometimes we feel very exposed here, and people sometimes drive by and shout things from their car windows, which is so disappointing in what we consider to be a pretty diverse, pretty open-minded, pretty supportive community, you know, minded part of the world. So definitely everybody feeling very anxious and nervous after the shooting in Pittsburgh, and two very good stories and a reminder to all of us that, as Adam Scher said, none of us is safe until all of us are safe.
Well, the combination of what's going on in the political scene and social media has emboldened people to take insults to a new level, public, you know, in public. It's just it's
appalling.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. All right, and we can go to one more building plan, and that is the Charlotte Hungerford plans and their plans for the medical center in Winsted.
And so this sort of follows up a story that Shaw had last week, which was originally the Charlotte Hungerford medical facility was planned for one space in town, and then they announced that they're not going to put it in that space, and there's some consternation because there had been, you know, an agreement for that building to go there. But so Charlotte Hungerford, which is now part of the Hartford healthcare system, then came to the selectmen and said, here's what we are planning. We're planning a really big modern facility. It's going to have this, it's going to have that, it's going to have, you know, blood draws, all sorts of things that are fantastic. And so it does seem like it's a net boon for Winsted and for people there to be able to have medical care close to home.
All right, we will move on to.
I just want to say the photo of the waterfall that Mark took. I drive by the falls almost every day on the way to work, and I always go down and take pictures of it. I've never seen it quite that turbulent before.
Well, he should take pictures again on Saturday morning because we're going to get another 1 to 2 inches of rain Friday at night.
Unbelievable.
It's right. I mean, my lawn now, the water just builds up on it because it's got no place to go.
Whereas Patrick Sullivan said, oh, good, it's raining again.
That's right. All right. On our town's page, A3, once again, making Kent a better place to live one pie at a time.
You know, I love the Night of 1,000 Pies, and I love that they call it the Night of 1,000 Pies. And I'm sorry, I know that it's important to have the health department there, but it's hard because there are a lot of pies that you used to be able to get, and they can't make them anymore because the state health regulations won't allow you to bake. I think it's anything that's like a custard-based pie. You can't bake at home and sell it. You can do, I think, fruit-based pies. And also Patsy Strobel, who owned Strobel's Bakery in Kent for so many years, used to always do a pie baking workshop the night before the sale. So there are fewer pies, which is sad to me. But there's
still
a lot.
Quite a few.
What?
100 was still quite a few.
Yeah, still a lot of pies, but, you know, I want it to be 1,000. But so they've expanded it, and there's all different other kinds of baked goods, but they also have, like, an artisan maker fair, which is great at this time of year. Well, and if you see sprinkled throughout the paper, there are a lot of craft and artisan fairs coming up, which is really the best holiday gifts you can give people.
Well, I was speaking with Brian Oler today, and this time's over the state statutes. I said, when does Maria Horn's term kick in? First of the year? He goes, well, I think it's the first so-and-so after the first of the year. I said, that sounds like Connecticut. It just can't be on the first of the year. It's on a certain day. Connecticut can never just do anything straightforward.
Yeah.
It really can't. It's unbelievable.
First Saturday.
After
the full moon.
Let's move on to your story about Habitat.
Bob Whalen, who's the executive director of Habitat and just the nicest guy you could have met and is a guy who's, you know, retired, was a successful businessman. They're getting, you know, and we talk so much about affordable housing around here and how important it is. And a lot of people are really intimidated by the thought of having their own mortgage. They just don't understand how it works. But so they haven't had a single person apply for their new house on Furnace Brook, which is a beautiful little road in Salisbury, which is one of the lowest tax towns. So I had said to him, let's do an interview and talk about the advantages of having a Habitat house, one of which is you don't pay more than 30% of your income, for whatever that is at the time that you apply. And so the hope, of course, is that you're young and that your salary will increase or at least that it won't decrease over time. And they're so willing to work with you. And so even if you feel like, oh, I'm toward the end of my career, what's going to happen when my salary goes down? They'll work with you and they'll figure out a way to make it happen. It's really a fantastic thing. It's the cost of having a mortgage is often lower than the cost of paying rent. You know, we're people are paying $1,000 or $1,500 for often, not that great rental spaces around here. You can have your own home, and you can build it with Habitat and to your specifications to some degree. So please do read that article and contact Bob and just apply. There's no reason not to. The worst thing that can happen is they'll go, but, and people feel like you have to have a lot of kids or you have to have a, particular social situation going on. You don't. You just need to have a living situation that you can't afford to improve with your salary.
All right. Nice story about a look back at tourneys.
This is actually a shorter version of a longer story that Carol Nealon did for the Millerton News, and it was just such a sweet story, and everybody loves tourneys so much. We decided to pick it up, and just because of space, we cut it a little bit. But Carol's doing a nice series.
But the nice story about tourneys is that story comes on the heels of the announcement that Tom Riley's retiring, and Riley's Furniture is going to close on December 31st.
Yeah, and he had actually been down in Florida, retired, and came back up to sort of help out when there were some shifts around in personnel there. So, you got to give the guys some credit for having come back and kept it going for a while. But a lot of stuff is closing right now.
But I was going to say, as someone who's been, Saperstein's and Riley's and Yeah. And you look at Phil Turney, you say, well, how much longer is Phil going to want to do this day in, day out? Some of the benchmarks that we've become used to for so long are disappearing.
Yeah, the community's changing.
Yeah. Let's go to the health page because there's nothing wrong with pulled pork.
There's nothing wrong with pork. And, it's funny because you don't generally think, healthy food, let's have some pork. But one of the nice things with pulled pork, too, is that you have to pull the fat off it. It's a fat-free pork. But so I did. I always say this, but you know, I was raised in a mostly Jewish household, so we didn't really eat pork when I was a kid. although my mom loved ham and bacon, but you know, we didn't really eat pork.
Same thing.
And but since I've lived here in New England, I've come to really like cooking pork. And so this is a fantastic recipe. Even my daughter, who's not a big eater, says it's the best pulled pork she's ever had. But also talking about, you know, trichinosis and about fat content and stuff. You know, and the bottom line is pork. You know, pork got a bad rap in the 70s, but it's actually pretty good for you.
Well, the great thing about the fat in pork, when you have pulled pork, it's slow cooked for like 8 to 10 hours.
Yeah.
So most of the fat seeps down to the pork anyways. I hate to tell you.
But you still pull a lot of it off.
Yeah.
And most pork is actually leaner than a lot of other meats.
The actual meat itself is. They're lean and mean. Jim and Ida Uchi won that car.
I know. That's a good looking BMW, 2003 BMW Roadster. And it's cute. Like, can't you just see those guys zipping around on a fall day and they're
no,
a little hot?
I can see her looking at him saying, "We're going to sell this deer or give it to our sons."
No, you can tell. She's going to be like, "Move over. I'm driving." I just love that that was – I love that they were the winners. So, of course, another astonishing – I don't even know how they do it. The Kent Memorial Library summer-long raffle, and a couple from Mayopac Falls, New York won it.
All right. And you've got a story on the new arts council director.
So Amy Nguyen who really got that arts council going and has done so much to support artists in the area with all different kind of programs, left and is working at the American Mural Project with Alan Griestick. And so her replacement was Rufus Durham. And so Jan and I were like, "Oh, Rufus, we know him. He's from Houston Valley Regional High School." So then my reporter, Deborah Alexinas, went and interviewed him and sent this picture. And we were like, "Wait." So I assume this is Rufus's son. And nice young guy, a lot of energy, is bringing a lot of experience from working in the arts in New York. And we're very excited to see what he's going to do with this really vital organization.
And I want to go to the story about the wine auction and curling going on for the Norfolk Curling Center.
Yeah,
that is this weekend.
Curl and drink simultaneously?
Yeah, so I think it's called on ice or something.
I think you can curl and drink at the same time.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
It might be required.
We're going to know. Sometimes you're better at sports when you're just a little looser.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
But curling is super cool, and if you've never watched it, it's surprising to me how many people say they've never been to the ski jumps in Salisbury and they've never been to the curling in Norfolk, and both of them are so worthwhile and so much fun. And, you know, it's winter up here. There's not that much to do. You should definitely go watch a curling match, and you can find their website. I think it's norfolkcurling.org or something like that.
You know, you say it's winter and stuff like that, and the next story I want to talk about is the one about the Bears back in Salisbury, because Curtis Rand is absolutely right. If bears have food sources, they don't go to hibernation. Right. They will continue to go to the food sources.
Yeah, and I was at LeBond's about, you know, we had caught a bear in town and they got the special garbage cans, and then I was at LeBond's about 2 weeks ago and clearly a bear had been there and had figured out how to unlatch the locks, and they can't just eat it right there, you know, like neatly. They have to throw it all over the lawn, as Janet and I know, because a bear got into our dumpster a little while ago.
They're picky. They don't want just any garbage.
Yeah, and they just drag it all over. It dragged it into our neighbor's backyard, and it's very upsetting to everybody. So.
All right, especially if you're at a garbage place for a big market, you're going to be really picky if you're a bear.
Yeah, that's
right. You've got choices.
Good pickings.
All right, the Festival of Trees is opening up. Gosh, the year goes by so quickly.
It does. The Festival of Trees is coming up, and I think Around the World is the theme this year. And I think it's November 17th, I think it opens.
Yep.
And it runs until just the first week of December. And, of course, the reason it ends so soon is that you buy the trees as a fundraiser for activities at Noble. So it's not just for Noble. It's for fun stuff for people to do, and you can even go in and buy a certificate for people to get their hair done or their nails done. And a really, really nice program, and always fun. So a great thing to do with your family over Thanksgiving weekend, and then you can take a tree home if you are the successful bidder and have it for the holiday season.
All right. Your editorial, one very necessary way to plan for the future.
Right. We're thinking that this may have been off people's radar as they were worrying about the midterm elections and other things. It is now open enrollment for the Affordable Care Act. And there are those of us who may think, Affordable Care Act, is that still around? Yes, it is. And most of the plan is in place still, and anyone who needs health care should look into it. There, we go through the reasons why and where you can do that, and Connecticut does have a really good website to go to and figure it out, but there will also be meetings throughout the area that Janet Carlson and her group will be putting together for the Northwest Corner Towns Health Pathfinder. Keep an eye out for that because it's well worth it to look through. It's very necessary. It becomes very important when you are someone in your family needs it. And open enrollment ends December 15th.
All right. And I love, and you're turning back to pages from 50 years ago, a rent in Sharon, 6 rooms, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, fireplace, unfurnished, 5 acres,
$275. That's right, 50 years ago.
Now, yeah. Of course, that equals different now, but you look at it now and you say, holy smokes.
Yeah. It seems life was simpler, but, you know, salaries were less too and all that, but it is fun. That's why we love turning back the pages, to look back at what Norma finds in the archives.
And you've got letters, and you also have Michael Duca once again, Richard Kesson with his article on reducing memory loss, a story on the hated Red Sox.
That's right. Some hate, some love. We do have letters, even in this funny in-between time where people knew, you know, they missed the election and didn't know the outcomes yet when they sent their letters in. But we do have one rebutting Tony Peel's letter, so we certainly do like to take letters that rebut our columnists and even rebut other letter writers, as long as that doesn't go on too long, back and forth. Anyway, it is interesting to see what our readers think, so we welcome that. A beautiful photo from James Clark of Pine Knob in Cornwall. We've had some perfect days to go up and enjoy the foliage as it's been now. And we have 3 columns on Prevagen and memory loss. Rich Kesson writing about it. He did a lot of research on it, and see what he found out.
Now, the story, the guest commentary by Tony Oswarek.
Yes.
My brother was on that baseball team, and we followed them every game.
Oh, my gosh.
Doc Bartlett was along for every game. We followed them to Muzzy Field, where they ended up playing a game that went till 3 o'clock in the morning, and that was the game that changed the laws in New Britain, where baseball could not be played till 3 o'clock in the morning. But I look at that story, and it brings back so many memories. So if anybody has memories about that 1968 baseball team that went not to the state finals but to the national regionals, read the story, because you'll smile. It'll bring back the MacArthur brothers, Pat Dineen, Fred Amerigi, who hit his head on the dugout every time he used to get up to go change a pitcher, Andy Russo. I mean, if you follow that team, read that story.
Even if you didn't, if you like baseball, even if you don't, if you live in the Northwest Corner, if you know any of these people, it's so fun. Tony was so excited about this anniversary 50 years ago, and just wanted to figure out some way to let people know what he remembered about it. And so we're so glad to have it. He would love to hear from anybody. Please do get in touch with Marshall or me, and we can connect some of you. Yeah. Maybe there will be an interview after this.
It's amazing, because I can remember Omar Pollock was an umpire, and I can remember Art Walters standing in the field one day in Torrington when a guy hit a home run. Art didn't even move a muscle, and the home run went over the river into the, so many great memories. And you know what? It was a simpler time.
But they must have been really good.
They were good.
Because, they blew these big teams out of the water, and not a simple thing to do then either.
All right, we can move on to Compass.
Yes, and also on page 12, obviously Veterans Day is not as busy as Memorial Day, but there are a lot of towns that are having their veterans come to schools and to ceremonies. Kent always does a big activity. North Canaan is not doing theirs till November 21st, and if you're a veteran in North Canaan and would like to participate, call Jamie at the school and let her know about it. And, of course, there'll be a ceremony at in Salisbury at the town hall. So in Compass, Anne has an interview with my personal hero, Mary Randolph Carter, who lives in Boston Corners and was the head of advertising for Ralph Lauren, or the advertising director. But more importantly to me, she was an editor at Mademoiselle when I was in junior high school and high school. She was doing such interesting things that I remembered her, and I always say to her, and it's so boring, I'm sure, for her, but I always go, like, she's the reason I went into publishing. So she has a new book out. She loves junk. She's very much a part of that look of the Ralph Lauren, where you have just wonderful old stuff that adds so much layers of character. So Anne, who's much more of a Marie Kondo, keep it clean kind of a person, had a really nice chat and visit with her at the house, and she said, you know, the Marie Kondo thing is only keep things you love, and And Carter loves everything in her house. And she has a new book out, and it's called The Joy of Junk. And she's interviewed people from the area about their own junk. And it's not junk, it's treasures. And she'll be doing a reading on November 15th at the White Hart as part of their series with Scoville Library. And Joan Osofsky, my neighbor, speaking of one of the people who's really keeping retail going in this area and is doing a great job with it. You know, go Joan. Leon Graham reviewed Bohemian Rhapsody, which he did not love. A lot of people, you know, are saying they like it. I think it's one of those movies where I think it's number one in America right now. So I think it's one of those movies people go to with a very high expectation. But he said, boy, you got to love that music. It's so incredible. And he said, if nothing else, go for that. Fred Baumgarten has interviewed Simon Perkins, who has written the beautiful New England Requiem that's part of Crescendo's fall concert. And it's trumpet, but it's also choral works. And it's really the most exquisite choral production, and they've got work by Taverner that was apparently the haunting, beautiful theme at Princess Diana's funeral, and C.B. Wismar reviewing Newsies at the Warner Theater.
All right, and I want to remind people on Veterans Day on Sunday, before NASCAR Day, from 8 to 9, every year we play a special with Stephen Value recounting the day he was shot and severely wounded. It's just the most amazing hour you'll ever experience, and that's on Sunday from 8 to 9.
Thank you.
Guys, thanks for joining us. We'll speak to you next week.
Thank you. Bye.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio as we get set to end. And, of course, Lakeville Journal is available on the web, tricornernews.com.